I have my bulletin in hand, and this is the beginning of our life group session, and we're going to be at the conclusion here in just a little bit, praying over our life group leaders, and with the hopes that you will, if you have not yet, select and sign up to participate in a life group, and do that at our life group board, as well as just meet them, just shake hands with them, and or go online as well. Well, thank you, everyone. We have an excellent opportunity. And I'm glad to see people up front. Thank you. I just love that. Thank you. I can see you, kind of touch, you know, touch someone, reach out. And there was a story about an elderly woman came into the church, and so the usher greeted her and said, "Madam, can I seat you?" And she said, "Well, I'd like to sit right up front, right dead center." The usher said, "Oh, ma'am, you don't know our pastor. He really is boring, and you'll probably fall asleep, and then we'll see your head wave back and forth." And she was really kind of disgusted by that. She says, "Young man, do you know who I am?" He says, "Well, no, ma'am, I don't. I am the pastor's mother." Ooh. So the usher said, "Well, ma'am, do you know who I am?" She goes, "I do not." He said, "Thank God," and took off. Took off. We have not seen him since. So we're thankful for the remaining ushers and usherettes. Glory to God. Let's take some big-time notes because you're going to take them into the life groups and discuss them. As you know, our screen says our series is all about following doctor's orders. So as we take a look at that, we can bring that up. Thank you, George. Here we go. And in the process of that, it is all about having time in prayer and time hearing what God has with regards to how he wants to use you to bring healing to people. Last time we were together, the message was about prayer life brings a healing life. Today we're going to pick up our second message, and that is entitled Praying in the Name of Jesus. Praying in the Name of Jesus. I'm right there in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. This is a brief portion of scripture. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'd love to make sure you get that. Want you to look in the scripture and mark it up. Mark up your Bible. Take lots of notes. We know the Lord's going to show you some things, and that's where you're going to help direct people as well as we grow together in the Lord. But in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, 16, 17, they call it the upper room discourse. Jesus is telling the disciples, "I am going away." In chapter 13, he actually says that, "I will not be with you much longer." And the disciples are crushed. And then he goes on and says, "But it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come." But they still don't get it. Matter of fact, John 14, 1, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." They are troubled. How could the one who opens the eyes of the blind, the multiplying of food, how could it be to our advantage? You're out of here. But he starts to say something, though there will be a distance from us. He talks a lot about and models prayer. He says, "The bridge from me to you is prayer." And how to pray? He lays it right out here in a great set of scripture. And I find it's fascinating because we talk about praying in the name of Jesus. So often if people have not gone through our discipleship course or they are just using Sundays to kind of gather a little bit of Bible knowledge, wow, that's, we got to really speed you up. So today's really important for you, but come to our discipleship program. Sign up for OSL. In the process, when people close off their prayers in Jesus' name, amen, it's usually like, "Hey, I'm all done. I'm done for now," or "adios." But there's something more to that, to the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, there's a relationship. That's what that means. In the name of the Son, there's a place in the church. It's his church. He called the church. He made it. In the name of the Spirit, empowerment to live it all out. I like that. So we take a look here. We're dealing with these areas, and the first being is, number one, the body of Christ in prayer. Let's take a look at verse 12, John 14, verse 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to be, or to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let's take a look here, because when we deal with this, the body of Christ in prayer, letter A, our relationship or identity with Christ. And I highlight there in your notes, please go on our website, the Hope Chapel Huntington Beach website, go under resource tab and go after where it says our relationship, identity with Christ. You and I have this summer went through the Spiritual Gift of Healing seminar, and we've talked about so clearly that I'm convinced 1/3 of all Christians have the gift of healing. Now, all Christians should pray for healing over sick, but there are some that have that gift, and they don't know it. They don't know it. That's why we were doing it. We've had phenomenal elements that were taking place, even a great testimony today, this morning. And you don't know if you have that gift of healing unless you pray for people. It's kind of like we can all run, we can all sing. You don't know if you have a gift in those categories unless you do a lot of it. That's how you find out. Same with praying for the sick. Pray for hundreds of people. You'll find out if you have that gift. One of the factors that we saw was so significant to break down the barriers to say, I shouldn't pray for anybody. Who am I? Was our identity right here. Our identity in Christ. You'll find there's three solid pages of who you are in Jesus if you are a believer, which means you have confessed your need for Christ. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I am going to follow you forever. In that reference, when you go online, you'll see things like Colossians 2:10. I am complete in him who is the head over all ruler and principality. 1 John 5:19, 18 says, I am born of God, and evil one does not touch me. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 2:16. I have the mind of Christ. Wow. Those are important things that some Christians do not and have not been around to say, do you know that you're not just the average Joe? Man, if you have Jesus in your life, you're capable of some amazing things. And praying in the name of Jesus is so important. So when we take a look here, what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? There's three words. We went with three words last time. Remember that? Last time we were dealing with, really it was communion, cooperation, calmness. I talked about, you'll know when you're really connecting with God, there'll be peace that follows. You'll say, did I pray enough? Did I ask it right? Well, do you have peace after spending time in the presence of God? I don't. Well, go back until you connect with him. Just sit there in the comfortable chair. So when we take a look here, praying in the name of Jesus, that means, number one, identity. It's listed there. It means you have an identity. It's in Christ. It came when you accepted him as Lord and Savior. That's the first word. You want to write that down, identity. The second word, when you pray in the name of Jesus, means authority. Authority. And the third word we'll get to at the third point, it's called conformity. You're conforming to what God has. So again, authority, right? And conformity. So identity, authority, conformity. We take a look here. It's interesting because when people are understanding their identity in Christ, they pray differently. If you have a low view of your Jesus, your prayers aren't going to be very effective. You're just not even going to think, I want to pray. It's going to be ineffective. It's not going to really matter. But Jesus said, in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. Anything can happen. And Jesus is here in the room right now. And you're going to get some things because he has some things for each of you to do. You may have already received it already, but he's there in our midst. So true prayer, I thought there's only prayer for anybody. true prayer is only made for Christians. Only made for Christians. How do you mean? What do you mean? Well, take a look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Can you see it there? He's talking to Christians, talking to his disciples. He who believes in me. That's the qualifier. If we're going to stay in the text of what we have. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So it's important when we say identity. You will never hear a Buddhist pray in the name of Jesus. He won't. He doesn't have an identity with Jesus. You'll never see a New Age person that following a bunch of religions pray in the name of Jesus. They will not. They don't have an identity with Jesus. You will never hear them say it. But Christians do. Because we have an identity with him. And man, that's so significant for that to come about. You say, well, anybody can pray. That's true. But the way we're looking at here, this is different. Yeah, anybody can pray. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says anybody can pray. This is how it is. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So an unbeliever or disobedient person find themselves in shambles and say, God, they'll help. God comes and helps. They'll be saved. That's his nature. I was waiting for you to call on me. But for you and I who walk it out in identity, in relationship, when the disciples said, Jesus, remember last week, Luke 11:1? Teach us to pray. They saw something in Jesus. And he said, this is how you pray, our Father. Wow, that's a twist. So when we look at this, it's so significant. And the name is so vital. Peter in Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's power in that name, and you get to wield that name. In the body of Christ, it's significant. We also have the element of John 14. If you just take a look at verse 5 with me for a moment. Remember, Jesus just said, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a room for you in my house, my Father's house, many mansions. And Thomas, in verse 5, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That name that you and I hold so dear. That is the name. That is the way. That's so significant. Now, there's animosity when you use that name with outside unbelievers. Have you ever found that? Just people will swear using the name of Jesus Christ. They'll cuss using. They never use some foreign false god, right? You never see or hear somebody say, oh, Confucius. That just say what? Or, oh, Buddha. That doesn't hold, but when they get upset and they use the name of the Lord in vain, or you go and use the name of the Lord in a setting, then it's animosity. I remember a while back during the election season, had this group of people trying to win them for Jesus, and they started talking smack about some of the potential candidates. I said, I don't want to talk about that person. Let's talk about Jesus. They, oh, Paul, there you go again. You always talk about Jesus. Cut it out. That's why we don't like you to come around us. I go, what? So I just want to throw that out. Second thing, when you pray in the name of Jesus, remember authority. I just want to throw that out there. Authority is very important. When you pray using a person's name, there's authority that stands behind any person's name. The Jews wanted to know to Jesus, they said, hey, by what authority, by what name do you do these things? Remember he said that? That's big on them. Who's sending you here to do this? Jesus is sending you to go do some big stuff too. That's the point of this message. That's the point of prayer and healing. You get it. If some of you get it, you'll revolutionize downtown Huntington Beach. It's kind of like a dad taking his three young boys to the county fair. It's fun, isn't it? Have you been there yet? So he takes his three boys to the fair, and he buys a big roll of tickets. Because, you know, boys don't want to go to the state fair to run off of the pies and the pastries, right? They want to go where? To the rides. Yeah, I just want to see if you're still with me on that. So they go to the rides, and he's doling out tickets. One for you, one for you. And all of a sudden, he sees his fourth hand stick out through the little group. What? And he pulls back. And his one son says, Dad, that's okay. That's Timmy. I told him if he were to show up, you would give him a ticket. You say, well, that sounds cute. He gave the ticket. They didn't want to disappoint his son. That's the way Jesus is with you. You come in my name. You show up to Father God, he'll give you a ticket or anything else you want. Whoa. So it's important we take a look at that and the vital aspect of us just coming in there. That was news to Judaism because they had such a formal approach, legalistic approach, extreme approach that nobody talked about even using the name of God. It was Al Hashim, the name. You don't say God. So when he says, just call him our Father who art in heaven. Whoa, it's big. I like that. So we want to be careful, but we want to recognize when you're in the presence of the Lord, select your words properly because what you ask, it's big time stuff. You really need to think it through. Don't let your brain check out. Don't do that. Be careful about prayer books and just memorizing or saying it. Really note what you're going to say. That's important. Matter of fact, King Solomon in Ecclesiastes said it that way in chapter 5, verse 2. Ecclesiastes said, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So again, the name of Jesus invokes identity. That's who you are. Authority, that's what you've been given. And conformity, we'll take a look. Let's take a look at number two, the broadness of prayer. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty broad. Now, when we look at that, I just cite those words very direct, whatever, anything, everything, whatsoever. Jesus used that. It's like, what? I mean, anything? I mean, everything? Yes. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. The emphasis of those words. If you look at verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So let's look for a moment. I have chapter 15. Would you turn your Bible one page or two over? John 15, 15. He states it again and says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Whatever, whatsoever, anything, everything. John 16, let's take a look at that. Thank you for following with it. I'm sure you're getting some things. Thank you for following you who are watching via live stream. Let's look at verse 22 of John 16. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, that's pretty outstanding to consider that. The broadness of prayer is outstanding. The scope of prayer is big. There's another chapter, it's not the Upper Room Discourse, but in Matthew 21, 22, that's where Jesus says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. So that's pretty big. So we start talking about that because there are people that say, well, that's, I mean, I might be asking things that are just too small. There's nothing too small for God. He says everything, whatsoever. Ask. It's like the little girl going off to bed. She's climbing upstairs, stops at the landing, looks out over the audience in the living room. Hey, I'm going off to bed and saying my prayers tonight. Does anybody want anything? Huh? That's it. It's true. That's so amazing. I'll ask for you. That's pretty fantastic. That's what Jesus is talking about. So it's pretty. I know I like when my grandchildren pray. They're so cute. It's just the genuineness of that. I've heard them say, oh, Lord, help my Ninja Turtle. I lost my Lego block. I go, well, you know, that's important to the Lord because you're important to the Lord. It's cute, but it matters to God. I cite Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. There's a lot of things that concern me. I got a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of things that you and I should bring to God. Everything, all things, whatsoever you ask in my name. I like that. A Greek scholar Richard Linsky said this, this word, whatever, this word includes far more than what pertains to our spiritual work among men. It covers every personal need, both temporal and spiritual. I think it's fantastic. Now, if God's numbering the hairs on your head, he's concerned with those things that are important to you. I get it, don't you? It blesses me to know God wants me to bring things to him. G. Campbell Morgan, a great British preacher, was approached by a lady who asked this question, Dr. Morgan, do I have the right to bring even the small things in my life before God? And so in his little British wit, he said, dear lady, can you think of anything in your life that's big to God? Isn't it true? I mean, you take the biggest thing, it's a small potatoes. Everything, bring everything to God in prayer. So there's a relationship to God in progression, is there not? I mean, you meet somebody, you first start off with your name. What do you do? Where do you live? Oh, what do you like? Same with God. Same with God. Some of you, it's just starting your journey off with God. What's his name? What is he like? What does he do? Where does he live? And those are things that in relationship, you can find out. People want to know. Our prayer life as believers of Jesus should be like the air we breathe. Lord, be blessed. Exhale. Lord, what's next? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians literally says, this is the verse, pray without ceasing. So the same with your breathing. Don't stop breathing. It's the air we breathe. And it's should be something that we're confident in. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But you come boldly. Some people are bringing a cup. If I knew God was that generous early on in my life, I'd have brought a bucket. Why bring a cup? Just going to ask one thing today, God. Man, that's I told you about tithing. Lord, if I just get money back, I'm going to feel ripped off. So I want a lot more from you. You should have that same aggressive element too because God loves you so much. Everything, anything. Well, if we take a look, it's important. I like Sir Walter Raleigh, who's often coming to Queen Elizabeth quite regularly with requests. And so finally, the queen one day said, Walter, when will you stop asking things of me? And he quickly said, Your Majesty, when you quit granting me my request. God's holding the back on you. Maybe you haven't had something happen. James, the epistle of James says, you have not because you've asked not. I'm hoping we spin forward and get some time and communing with God and really enjoy it. Well, let me just take a look at number three, the boundaries of prayer, and we'll touch on that. It's interesting, in verse 13, back at John chapter 14, Jesus said this, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So what are the boundaries? Ask anything, but with a certain manner, for a certain reason. That's where the conformity comes in. Conforming to what God wants, when you ask somebody in his name, you're taking on that person's reputation, taking on that person's character. But it's the word ask. If you look at that word ask, that does not mean demand. It is not a dictate. That's a point of humility. Lord, I'm coming to ask something of you today. It is not demanding something. That is not the way that word in the Greek lays it out. If it was demanding, and there can be those that say, well, I'm just going to demand this, and we're going to move that, and God's going to come and zap and boom and wham. That's kind of like handing a whole arsenal of nuclear warheads to a child. Say, go play and have fun. But ask in humility, oh Lord, I want to conform. So when we take a look at that, true prayer is only for Christians. Understand, when we talk about the name of Jesus, let me highlight in Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 through 7. When Moses wanted to see God, and God says, nobody has seen me, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to pass by and I'm going to announce my name. Now, you want to hear the name of God? Pretty awesome. This is it, Exodus 34, 5. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Wow, what a name. The merciful, long-suffering element of God in a name. We speak the name of Jesus, his character, his reputation. Man, it's important for us. People sell products. We go and buy certain things because we know that product with that name has a very good reputation. Hey, Rolls-Royce doesn't want to put their label on a Ford. Why? Well, they want to charge you the big bucks. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But it's important. Let's take a look right now. And let me pray with you for a moment. Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for the way that you allow us to come, our Father, all of our fathers. Lord, if there happens to be somebody here that has a distant relationship, no relationship with you, just has heard about you, and watched others try to display you, but Lord, they don't know the real you. And Lord, even as we sing this song, Lord, move on all our hearts and say, I want more of the Lord. I desire more of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join us as we sing this song together?
We give you permission.
Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you.
are still closed. Isn't it wonderful? Today we saw the body in the element of prayer, the broadness of prayer, but then there's boundaries. The body, we identify. We have authority. There's conformity. If you're here and you don't feel a part of the body of Christ, everybody needs to have a faith family. But you come in by saying, I need Christ in my life. While the eyes are still closed, you say, Pastor Paul, that's me. I need the Lord and need to get things right. I need to give my life for the first time. Thank you. Anyone else? Put the hand down. Good. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. I see that hand. Put it down. I'd like to lead us in a simple prayer for these four hands, if that's all right. Simple prayer. Simple prayer. This is not joining the church. It's like laying it all out because of Jesus on the cross. Let's all pray this prayer and not single out anybody. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. That you died on the cross for me. That you were buried for me. That you rose to life for me. And right now, dear Jesus, I invite you into my life. Wash me clean of all my sins. Make me new. Use me for your glory. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I want to just highlight a couple of things while I welcome our life group leaders up front here. We're going to dismiss you in this direction, life group leaders. Please come forward. We're inviting you to sign up, you who call Hope Chapel your home. We have 8 life groups that are meeting each week, and they start tomorrow. We have Kelly Marvin's life group meets here on Sunday in the Fellowship Hall. That'll be next Sunday when they start. The Chaffees meet here at the Cove on Tuesday night. Prelznicks meet right there at Ann Weston's house on Tuesday night as well. All of these are on a life group card with the maps how to get there. We have the Aguilars are meeting as well on Tuesday night at their home. And the Sequeras are our new life group leaders along with Kelly Marvin. They are meeting on Thursday night, and they are meeting at the Cove as well. Some have childcare, some do not, so it'll be helpful to be able to check on that. We want to pray them off that blessing. Can I also just highlight, maybe you who accepted Christ in your life this morning, and you've never been water baptized, I'm meeting briefly with those who are considering water baptism through that door. And that will be about a 10-minute presentation to explain water baptism. It is next Sunday at 6 at the beach. We're going to do a back-to-school beach bonfire / baptism. And it's going to be fantastic. But if you've never been baptized, part of that great opportunity for the pouring of the blessing is be obedient to the Lord. It'll be wonderful. Just stop by and let's see that happen. Well, I need to dismiss you, but I want to just pray you off a blessing and pray over our life group season. We're going to have a great season. God's going to do much through what you learn today and feed that conversation with prayers all week long. You won't miss out on memory and what God's doing. Father, we thank you for your goodness. As we just speak a grace over our life group leaders, we also include those that were here earlier in the services. Lord, thank you for your hand, Lord, over the Cowards, over the Smiths. Lord, we're grateful over the Pickens. Lord, over those life groups as well. May your hand prosper each gathering of your Christians. Let it be marked with a telltale sign of your presence every time they meet. And may safety abound. Fruitfulness increase. As you said, I've called you to be fruitful. We thank you individually, collectively, much fruit and fruit that remains. And Lord, for those that have given their lives to you today, We thank you, Lord, for your love upon them. May they journey well and grow quickly and have a tremendous excitement. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.